our Father, we come to you again and we thank you, Lord, for this day. One of these days before long, we're going to get up, be about our business, or who knows, maybe it's sleep at night in some part of the world. Trump's going to sound and dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive will be changed and meet the Lord in the air. But until that day comes, we can't be lazy. The Lord, we've got to be occupied until Jesus comes. And think about this world, where it's headed so fast they don't even realize it and refuse to listen to anyone who wants to obey God and His Word to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mock Him even more so today than they did the day when He came 2,000 years ago. We pray tonight, though, we'd honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you will, to Psalms chapter 5. Let me give you, we're going to read about three or four places. Let me give you, this is a very hard message to preach tonight, because no matter where and how you preach it, some will misunderstand it. But to show you the difference, if I would say to you, emotionalism and formalism, what comes to your mind? Did you know that today, right here in this world, there's religious services going on that stretch all the way from what is formalism to one side to all the way to what is emotionalism to the other side? And there are people who said, can you explain what's going on? There are some churches so formal that you don't slide in there on a pair of ice skates. They look at you as if, what you going to do for me? Kind of like some of you do me once in a while. What are you going to do for me? I don't think you can do much for me. I got as much sense as you've got, and I'm here. God want to be pleased because I'm here. And then you move all the way from that side to the other side, where there's tremendous emotionalism, where in turn it's complete out of control. It's, I can't control it, they say. Well, is formalism a God? Or is a person who's completely out of control, emotionalism, has no control whatsoever, are they right with God? Or is it somewhere in between? Now, I'm a very emotional person. I'll say that to start with. I am a very emotional person. And when God touched, I don't care. When God touched me, if I come in here sometime myself and just shout. Maybe you come by one day and catch me and you think I lost my mind. But God deserves adoration from the hearts of His people. The angels do it all the time. They don't know what it's to be born again. But on the other hand, I have to watch it, because if I don't, I'll do everything in the energy of the flesh. And I don't care how much I shout. If it's in the energy of the flesh, it's not adoration to God. Because what happens, I'll build myself up then. If I were going to shout and I feel better after I shout than I did before I shouted, then it's the flesh. Shouting ought to help us to grow. So where is that line of demarcation from all the way to emotionalism to formalism? It's very important for us to understand that place. And I don't know if I can, I've got it for me. It may not be for you, but I've got it for me. I know exactly when the time comes, I feel it. Say, you see, what happens is when God touches your heart about things, you react at different times in different ways. But at the same time, you don't act out of control. Now, you look at what, I'll give you some examples of that across this nation today that you see is happening. There's nothing wrong in saying amen. There's nothing wrong in shouting hallelujah, and I'll prove that to you in the scriptures. On the other hand, it can get to the far that, so far that where nothing is done for God, and the world laughs at you. And I hope you see that here tonight before you leave and say, God, help me to be more emotional but not be fully in emotionalism. God, pity. If I'd rather be emotional moving towards emotionalism than not be emotional move towards formalism. Because in formalism, one gets to the place that they're pride and proud. On the other hand, they can't enjoy anything. I enjoy hearing this book preach. I wish I could preach it like some men do. I can't. But I enjoy hearing it preach. I enjoy songs that are written around the Bible. I don't care anything about a repetition song. Don't come to me and praise a song and you sing the same line 25 times. I just feel like that's not a good exaltation. That'll make the flesh feel better, because you do anything repetitive over and over and over and over and over again, and after a while you find yourself feeling a little bit better, especially if you're hollering. It's good for everyone to holler. Why do you think old-timers used to holler? You ever hear it years ago? When I was a boy, I had a guy live next to me, had the prettiest you heard me tell before. His name was Mr. Shelton. Mr. Benson it was. He could holler, I'm telling you the truth, prettiest I ever heard. You'd hear him in the morning, a lot of times about 4 o'clock before it got light. You hear him hollering across the creek. And it's almost, it's just a tune hollering. And I asked him one day, I said, Mr. Benson, I don't ask you, I heard you hollering this morning. And he wanted to know, did it bother me? I said, no, sir, I enjoyed it. But why do you do that? He said, old-timers did it years ago for communication. He said, we didn't have all the things we have now. There's a certain sound that you give if you had help, needed help, certain sounds if you were happy. He said, and then another thing that helps the lungs stay clear. By the way, it will, you know that? You know, one of the things that helps us when we exercise, we breathe hard, makes our lungs stay clear. Now, I don't care nothing about Willie Nelson whatsoever, but he did say something in an insert I read about him the other day, said that he'd found out that if you didn't do exercise, if you would do some hard breathing every day, I mean, take some gin, that it would do great things for you because it helps your lungs stay clear and feel and exercise. Now, try it sometimes. I challenge you. If you do it enough, you may pass out. But I challenge you to do that. It will literally make you feel better when you do that. And I've been doing it a few times a week. Amen. That's why I blowed up like a bullfrog, though. But here we want to look in Psalms chapter 5. One man said this as he was talking about his facts. He said, you know, he was telling this fellow about some facts he had. And this fellow said to him back, the so-called facts that you presented proves that your theory is wrong. And this fellow said, no, it doesn't. That's nonsense. He said, my theory is correct. It's your facts that are misleading. And I think that's what we have sometimes. We take facts, we take theory and teach them as facts, and then we try to take facts, we think they're there, and they're not like we want it, so we change it to some type of theory to fit our mold where we're at. I saw a sign the other day. It was interesting. By the way, this sign said this. It said, you talk to the boss, the sign read, you tell the boss that you're really what you really think. And he said, and the truth will set you free. I like that. Amen. I also read a story that Worth said there was 6 men that was on a boat that had shipwreck. Goes in line about what we're talking about when it comes to the church. 2 of them were Jews, 2 of them were Roman Catholics, and 2 of them were Baptists. And they finally got to an island. They were not rescued for a period of time. And on the island, while they were there for a few months, the first 2 were the Jews. And the 2 Jews people founded what was called the Temple Emmanuel Synagogue. The 2 Catholics finally founded what was called the Church of the Holy Name. The 2 Baptists finally broke ground for the First Baptist Church and also the Second Baptist Church. So that's probably what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to break some ground here. Nobody's going to really agree on everything, but I believe it'll help us if you want to be helped tonight. Look in Psalms chapter 5. I want to read, first of all, verse 11. In Psalmist David said, but let all those that put their trust in thee, what's the next word? Rejoice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know and I know that what you see most in church is not rejoicing. Rejoicing means there's more to it than just a smile. Rejoicing means that something has happened that really elates you to a place that you feel joy. Like at a ball game when your team's winning. Not when you're losing, but when you're winning. The joy that comes where there's rejoicing. There's things that make us happy and we rejoice over it. I never seen anybody yet getting married. At the time they were getting married, they won't rejoice. Couple months later they won't, but the time they were getting married, they were getting joy, rejoicing. Notice, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Now he's talking about trust in God. And he said, let them ever shout for joy. Now this is God's word. This is what David said. He said, you put your trust and thee rejoice. And then he said, let them shout for joy. Because thou defendest them, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, if you look with me quickly, in Psalms 32, verse 11, you'll find again that David said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. If you look with me in Psalms 132, and look down at in 132, about verse 9, you'll find that God says this: let the priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, shouting isn't saying, oh, me, amen. Shouting not saying, my, isn't that good? Boy, I really did like that. Boy, he sure cut some corn tonight. That's not shouting. That's just making a statement. When you shout, you exert energy. And that's what he says here. Verse 16, he said, I will clothe her priest, with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for glory. Now, you can shout to yourself sometime and no one hears it, but here he says, shout aloud for glory. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight about what is the difference between emotion and emotionalism. We know what formalism is. I'll look at that in a few minutes. But what is the difference between being emotion and going to the extreme to emotionalism? And I believe if you leave, you'll be glad you came. In other words, the question is, what is to be emotional or not to be emotional? That's the question. You see, today, many feel the lack of emotion in the worship service because they're afraid someone will say something, but they're too emotional. Now, if it's just emotion, nothing wrong. But you can get to the extreme of emotionalism, and you'll see that in a few minutes, because we got people now that not too long, a mega church out in the West got to laughing, and they said they laughed over 45 minutes, just nothing laughed. 2,000-3,000 people did nothing but laugh. Just laugh. And they said, what happened? Said the Holy Spirit came in and just filled the whole crowd. I don't believe that. I think there's more to God than just laughing. By the way, when the Holy Spirit moves us emotional, we're going to find ourselves serving Him. We're going to find ourselves wanting to serve Him. We're going to find ourselves faithful. We're going to find ourselves giving what? If God has so moved us emotionally to shout for joy, we're going to be doing more than just that. It's important. Because emotion will cause us to grow in grace and knowledge from the Word of God. And you'll see that tonight. I put a lot of time in this because I want you to understand, God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to shout. And when somebody shouts in the Spirit, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we want to be sure it don't get to the place that whereas God is rather than glorified, it might be that the heart has deceived someone and Satan is more in charge than the glorification. It's important for that. For us to see. Now, today many feel the lack of emotion in the worship service, so others warn against too much emotionalism in our services. We should never do that. We should never try to cramp the Spirit of God. I'll tell you this, when you got saved, more than likely, if you were emotional then, you're going to be emotional now. God takes us as we are. If you're not emotional then, you may not be emotional now, but there's still nothing wrong in giving God glory. And you heard me tell the story about Dr. Hudson, the late lady. She went to see her on the shout, and you heard what she said. Her shouting was whoopee. But that shouted. If that's what it is, that's what she did. And he told her, go right ahead, do it. Amen. And I would too. But I'm telling you, we need to look at it and understand it, and I want you to understand it from this study tonight. Can we have emotions without being too emotional? Yes, we can. Emotions have a Bible role in the life of the Christian. And yet, when emotions become emotionalism, there's a great danger in being deceived. And God's not getting glory. But there's more to it because it's a mockery in the sense that it goes beyond that which God would do. Nothing wrong in shouting. Nothing wrong in that. But I think with all my heart, if it gets to the place there's nothing but laughter, what happens with laughter? I don't find that Bible, but I do find where he tells us to shout because of joy. And by the way, if you've been born again, you got something to shout about. Amen. And so am I. But then again, for a person who doesn't shout, I'm not going to say anything to them, for they don't do it, and I'd hope they wouldn't say anything for me when I did do it, and analyze the situation at the time to be sure that it would be that which God would be pleased with. So when a potion becomes emotionalism, then there's a great danger in being deceived. You know, emotion, what is that? According to the dictionary, emotion is a state of one's feeling aroused to a point of awareness of something. When we move to the emotion to do what God said, we are at the point of awareness of something that blessed our heart. We're at the point that we've learned what something has been happened to us. In other words, there's a rise in my heart. You know as good as I do, you've been saved for years. I've been saved for over 50 years. And I find every day is not so joyful. But there are some days, brother, I can't hardly stand it. There are some days I can't hardly hold it. Most of the days are not that way. But thank God for those days. It shows me not only I believe what God's word said, and not only it helps me in this life, but I feel it in my soul at times, and I rejoice over it. I'll tell you this. I don't know of one in here. I don't hope you don't play the lottery if you do, but I'll say this. I don't know a person anywhere that wins $60 million in a lottery wouldn't rejoice. You wouldn't see him walking around, "Hey, I heard you won $60 million. "Yeah, I sure did. I don't know how I did it, but I sure did." Yeah, you couldn't contain them. You couldn't put them in a straitjacket and contain them. Amen. Why? The joy of that, you see. I got news for you. What God did for us, $60 million can't buy. You think I'm not going to rejoice over that when God touches my heart? You better believe I am. So emotion is a state of being aware, having one's feeling aroused to a point of awareness of something. But emotionalism is the display of emotion quickly. There's no growth. It's just feelings. And if I only have just feelings, I can be deceived because my feelings deceive me. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be growth. It's got to be something with substance to it, because if it does, hey, my feelings change with the wind. I can feel good going to a lot of things. Amen? You can too. Sometimes I feel good just riding down the road. Sometimes when I go to a ball game, I feel good when our team's winning. There, I can feel good change of the wind. Sometimes when I'm thinking about going somewhere and under preacher, I feel good and get there, I really feel bad. You know what I'm talking about. You've been times you felt good, and you knew you felt good. But you didn't grow. It's a quick feeling, which in turn there was no growth that's there at that particular time. Now, 3 points quickly. What is the difference between motion and emotionalism? There are two extremes that we have to avoid in our worship service. Formalism is the first one. Formalism, this is that which is better felt than told sort of religion. This is where people depend more on what they feel in their flesh rather than on what they read in their Bible or they have learned with their mind. I guess I know in the past there are certain songs we used to play when I played with a band before I got saved that moved me better than other songs. There are certain songs that move me simply because of the way they were played. And by the way, even today after being saved for years, I hear some of those songs and have flashbacks, and you do too. Where worship is characterized by unrestrained outbreaks or emotions to the extreme, like rolling in the aisles or bursting out with unintelligible words or so-called laughter when everybody, 1,000 people, actually said about 3,000 people laugh for 45 minutes and called it a Holy Ghost laughter. Emotionism. Here, emotionism disobeys the scripture and admonition for worship in decent and orderly fashion, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. Here one overlooks the warning. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Then there's formalism. Formalism is where there's a complete lack of emotion in the worship service. This may be reacting against emotionalism, and sometimes it is. They react over that. They say, this person's going too far. No, just ordinary shout. I have no problem with a person shouts. I have no problem with somebody praise God. By the way, the Bible teaches, and I'll show you even the things that sometimes clapping the hands is worshiping God. It's not for entertainment. It's not clapping for entertainment. It's the fact that if you see what God has done, we'll read that in just a few minutes. This results in a deadpan attitude, formalism. Here songs are sung and sermons are preached with little reaction by those who are in the service. The lack of heartfelt worship is contrary to what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 15. Turn there with me. And you'll find in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 7 and 8, Jesus made this statement. He said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, said, this people draweth nigh with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There is a thing sometimes that one uses their mouth and honors, but their heart is not where it ought to be. I'll tell you this, it would be hard for me to shout if I'm not faithful. It'd be hard for me to shout if I was robbing God. I'm be honest with you. It'd be hard for me to shout if my life weren't in line to some things that would be pleasing to God. But hey, don't get in the way if they're in line. You say, preacher, already loud enough. I get louder when I shout. Maybe that's the reason I need to do it alone. You say, why don't you do it before people once in a while? Well, you hear me. Amen. I'll do that. But I'll tell you this. When I'm by myself, it's only to God. And that's the only thing that really matters. It's only to Him. Again, the songs are sung and preachers preach, and there's no little reaction. This lack of heartfelt worship is contrary to what the Lord says. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 and 38, here's what Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. There must be a love for God that involves the whole heart. And if there is, there's going to sometimes it will overwhelm you. Sometimes shouting is just weeping. Pray, God just crushes your heart and you weep inside in adoration towards the one who loved you so much. May God help us not to go from one extreme to the other, that we might find ourselves being just what the Lord wants us to be. Now, the Bible teaches a lot about emotionalism in the form of emotion, not the far extreme. Emotion has a proper place. Emotion is very necessary. There is an emotion of love. 1 Peter teaches that in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look that with me, and I'm going to have to go through the others. Hurry, because you'll be here all night. I've got a lot of reference, and I'll just give you a few of these. In 1 Peter, look with me in chapter 4 and verse 8. In chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice what Peter said in verse 8. And above all things, have, what's this, fervent charity. The word fervent charity. You know what the word charity means? Love. But have you know what the word fervent means? It means simply a hot, growing, burning rage of love. Now, he's not talking about this physical connection, sexual, some kind of implication. He's not talking about that. Watch, the scripture verifies itself. It says that you have fervent charity, fervent love, hot, growing, burning, raging love among yourself. Why? For charity or love shall cover the multitudes of sins. When you have love for God, it's a love for others. And suddenly someone's caught in the depth of sin. And love for God and restore others will cause a person literally to want to cover their sin or pray for them that the blood would take care of their sin. It is a raging prayer to pray for, not criticize. That's what he's talking about, the love of God that you and I can experience. There's an emotion of hope, Romans 12, 12 says, rejoice in hope. There's emotion of joy, Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's an emotion of sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. There's an emotion of hate, Proverbs 3, 18, or 3, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. Oh, I thought that, but you said that. It didn't say hate someone else. But he said to hate sin. It's very easy for someone, sometimes we look at people individually and we don't see the sin that's involved with persons hating. No, we're not to hate someone else. We're to hate the sin that's there and let people know we're praying for them. There's an emotion of fear in Matthew chapter 10. And verse 28, here's what we see. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Jesus said this, fear not them which kill the body, and but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a place for emotion in the Christian life. And there is emotion that these things affect us different ways. And God is saying there is a place for emotion to rejoice and shout for joy when your heart has been moved to the blessed state that you see what God has done for you as an individual. And yet emotion must be rooted in the Word of God. Here's the whole thing. You know, I believe this book, my emotions must be rooted in the Word of God. Bible emotion is rooted in faith. Faith comes hearing by the Word of God. This faith comes by hearing God's Word. This requires the use of our intelligent faculties. I shout because God blessed my heart. Amen! Because God blessed my heart. My Father has written, have a Father in my heart, that is true. Praise His holy name. But it doesn't mean all of a sudden I should get down and do a zip round in the floor somewhere or another just to show someone I'm holy. Now, if that's what God person does to the Lord, I won't criticize it. But I'm telling you, this should give us the ability to grow because we're aware of what we just heard that blessed our heart. It wasn't a physical feeling. It may have led to the way I felt, but that caused me because I was blessed by God. I won't try to overact to make my feelings be seen to make someone think I'm holier than thou. Kind of hard to do that anyhow, someone who watches your life, because once you do that, watch your life, and it won't take long to say whether they really mean it or not, because there'll be a lot of potholes in their life that they won't be doing. Faithfulness and things like that won't be seen if a person is not living for the Lord. How can you give God glory if you're not living for Him? So you can see that pretty good, you see, in life. Again, God's Word is designed to stimulate emotions. While reading God's Word, we should be moved to love. 1 John 4, verse 9 to 11. Romans 5, verse 8 through 11. We are to rejoice when informed of Christ's reconciling work. We're to rejoice when we see when I stand before the judgment of God in this life and I'm helpless and hopeless and doomed and down because I'm a sinner, and suddenly I cry out, "Is there no hope?" And the wonderful Holy Spirit brings the gospel to my heart and shows me that Jesus paid the debt. That's something worth shouting about. More so than a ball game. I like what Brother Cooper said a few years ago. He was at a ball game, and he said somebody was just shouting up a storm. And he was out witnessing, I believe. And it was telling someone that talking about shouting. And he said what they did. And he said, "I've seen that at a ball game." It's got to be more than a ball game for God to be pleased by it. You see, knowledge helps us hate certain things. Proverbs chapter 1, when we have knowledge and we shout over the blessing of that knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. In Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. When the Bible warns us, we should move to fear. Hebrews 10, Bible emotion must be based upon God's Word. In other words, If I am blessed by, let's say, even music and don't understand the words, I find myself being where I was years ago, playing for a dance somewhere or another before I was saved. You know why people get up and dance? Because of the music. I never seen anybody try to dance without music, do you? They might hum. I don't get it. And yet you find yourself moving with the music. What moves me is the words. Now, the music may get my attention, but it's the words. That song Sister Spark sung this morning got my attention. It helped me see myself. I'm sorry, I've had some of those rooms I didn't want God to touch. And so have you, if you'll be honest. God, do everything else for this. I can't just let it go. And I had to let it go. God will never use me. We have to understand it's the Word of God. What Bible warns, we should know. Emotion must be based on the Word of God. The right emotions will produce the right fruit through the Bible. Scripture emotions are evoked for a purpose. Hear this, folks. If the proper fruit is not born after the emotion, it is emotionalism. Because God is concerned about the fruit that we produce, not the actions. And so again, scripture emotions are evoked for a purpose. Notice the kind of fruit borne by scriptural emotions. The emotion of love bears the fruit of obedience, John 14, 15, 1 John 5, 3. The emotion of hope bears the fruit of patience, Romans 8, 24, 25. The emotion, listen, of joy bears the fruit of sacrifice, 2 Corinthians 8. The emotion of sorrow bears the fruit in its repentance. The emotion of hate bears fruit in rejecting error, Psalms 119, 127, 128. The emotion of fear brings fruit in departing from evil, Proverbs 16, 6. Scripture emotions will produce fruit in the Christian life of the Christian. If not, it is emotionalism. If you see me move with any type of outward emotion praising God, you're going to find if it's really biblical, it's going to cause me not only to give Him praise, but to serve Him. Because it will bring the fruit that's needed for others to see 2 days later rather than on the day that they see me in some type of situation. So number one, watch for the extreme of formalism and be careful with the extreme of emotionalism. Now, number two, emotion has a proper place. Every one of us. But if you don't get moved up so bad, then you just weep. Don't worry about it. That's weeping is emotion. Just some other. I can't help it. I've told this, you heard me say before. If everything got out, I failed, you couldn't stand me. You said you're quenching the spirit. No, I'm doing just enough to give God adoration. Give God glory. Because not only am I individual doing those things, but I am at the same time serving Him day by day by day by day. The third one, when does emotion become emotionalism? That's what I had to find out. I'm a very emotional person. God forbid I be formal. But when does emotion become emotionalism? When emotion becomes an end to itself. If my emotion is for self-purpose rather than for God. Whatever the reason, to prove someone I'm holier than thou, to prove someone that I've got it, to someone else doesn't have it, if that be it, then emotion becomes an end to itself. When people forget that emotions are a means to an end, we should be motivated to serve God, not just feel good. If I'm going to be motivated because I'm blessed, it's to serve God. Give me that energy to serve God. Man, I'm so drained. I can't hardly move one foot this roughly. Can't get above the other. I can't hardly go sometimes, Lord. And all of a sudden, I get energized just because I feel something due to God's holy word. It energizes me. Lets me know I'm not gone yet. Sometimes somebody will say, you know, the preacher's getting so old. I think he's about wore out. And I hear that, and all of a sudden I begin to feel like I'm wore out. And then suddenly God gave something to my heart, Abba, Father. And I jump up, realize I can't jump as high as I used to, but I get the energy. By the way, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you felt, you know, I don't think I'll teach that class no more. I'll tell you what's true. If it just not, I don't know if it's worth it. Next thing you know, God will bless your heart, and you can't hardly wait to get there next week and teach a bunch of people you don't even think is going to listen to. You care? No. Why? You're serving God. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other churches. Amen. When does emotion become emotionalism? When people are not motivated to produce the proper fruit. It's just a feeling. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Boy, at church last week, we were there. We couldn't do nothing. We just felt we got there. We got feeling so good. We left with the best feeling in the world. What did you learn? Don't make no difference. We felt God. Let me ask you something. If you're at a ball game and felt that same feeling, would it be God? We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Satan is a mighty counterfeiter. And I believe this. When I feel what I feel, God energizes me for the purpose of service. It's a purpose for me to understand He's energizing me to do what He's called me to do. The goal is not the emotion, but the fruit that are intended to produce. I am filled with the Spirit of God. that I might go not just back to my job, but when I'm at my job, realize that's not the end. It's a means to an end. God just reminded me that this past Sunday or this past Monday or Monday night, whenever it was, I felt His presence in us, you see. To display emotion that does not bear the proper fruit, one is guilty of emotionalism. Now again, when does emotion become emotionalism? When emotion is not based on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to feel good when I heard Tutti Frutti. I used to feel good when I heard Hound Dog. Some of you did too. And somebody listened and said, I don't remember Hound Dog. Well, believe me, the 50s, that used to make me feel good. But I'll tell you this, it won't God. It won't God. And I'll tell you what, I felt as good back then sometimes I have felt now with God. And I have to be sure, I'm sure that I understand what's God and what's not God. Because I can be deceived. I'm honest. I am easy deceived. If I want this book, I'm not arrived yet. I want this book. I have to weigh everything out with this book. Because only this book can give me the right direction and attitude to go through these things. When emotion is based on the Word of God, when one is led by the thoughts and intents of a deceitful heart, then you'll be sure that the proper fruit will not be produced. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 6, here's what Solomon said. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 6. I'd like for you to turn there and look at that, if you will. 26. He said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. See, there are some things that I would think and contribute to God. I'm just trusting my own heart, the way I feel. No, I've got to analyze it with the Word of God. It's got to be that which I can see God working. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I must never forget that. God has said the heart is deceitful above all things and it's desperately wicked. Even though I am saved now, I have to understand this flesh has never changed. It only changes as I bring it in subjection to the Word of God. Mark 7, 21 to 23, Jesus said, within, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Our emotions must be rooted in God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. But ladies and gentlemen, he didn't put that in there just to fill up a book. That's a tremendous truth that God tells us. If our emotions are based upon anything other than God's Word, we are guilty of emotionalism because it becomes flesh if it's not of God's Word. Let me ask you, it has to be God's Word for us to know if it's godly. If not, it can be the flesh. And I don't want this flesh to give anything at all that might not bring glory to God. I don't want Satan to catch me to misuse me in this flesh that wouldn't bring glory to God. I want to be sure with God's help to help me understand that when I'm moved emotionally by God, it will produce fruit in my life so that people can see what God is doing and many times will listen more so than before. When emotion is the basis for our faith, when it's the basis of our faith, then it's not emotionalism. When it's not basis on our faith in this book, it becomes emotionalism. We allow feelings to dictate what we believe rather than God's Word. I cannot allow this flesh to dictate what I believe in my own energy. It's got to be this book. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. If it weren't for this book, I'd have some wild ideas. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been associated with it all. From five-point Calvinism to Arminian, all the way beyond that. If it wasn't for this book, all of us would have some many wild ideas. We've been confronted with a lot of wild ideas in life. And therefore, it's this book that gives us the understanding. I'm just about through. Here we allow feelings to dictate what we believe rather than God's Word. Here one refuses to obey what one reads in the Bible because he feels it should be different. That's emotionalism. Don't tell me. I know what I felt. Did it produce anything? What was it that did it? The music? or the words? What was it that did it? The story or the Bible? What was it that did it? The testimony? What was it that brought it about? Because it's very important to refuse to obey what one reasoned the Bible and feel that it should be different is leading to emotionalism. When one tries to change the meaning of a passage to support what they feel is right, that's emotionalism. I had a fellow tell me one time he'd been serving God, he said, a number of years. And he was talking about the Bible, and it's obviously not right, and I won't get into it, but I read the scriptures to him, and he said, you know, I've never seen that before. He said this, and so help me. He said, brother, I'm going to tell you this. He said, I know the Bible says that, but what I believe feels so good, I can't change. That's emotionalism. That's going too far. Again, if our faith is based upon emotion only, we are guilty of emotionalism. If my faith is based only on the fact that I'm moved emotionally, I'm guilty of emotionalism. My faith ought to be based on the fact that what God says moves me. And then thank Him for the feelings. Thank Him when I do right, I feel good. Thank Him when I do right, and I see there's a time I'm overwhelmed with what I see He's done, and I give Him praise and adoration because of who He is in this life. You see, for us to feel and express emotions is a wonderful gift from God. Psalm 47, watch this. In Psalm 47 and verse 1, a beautiful verse of Scripture. It simply says this, Psalm 47 and verse 1. Now, don't you see this? Here, the psalmist says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of a trumpet. Sister didn't say the voice of a flute. Now, it'd be good to do that, but a flute don't make as much sound as a trumpet does it. Isn't it amazing? God says the trumpet. He didn't say the voice of a harmonica. He didn't say the voice of a clarinet. He didn't say the voice of some other instrument. He said, notice again, of a trumpet. Now, when I read that, I can't read in that what I want to. I mean, if I look at it, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of a trumpet. But it ought to be when I do it, you see the fruit in my life. You see me in church. You see me in the house of God. You see me giving God praise. If I'm giving praise, I'm serving. You're going to see me trying to win souls. You're going to see me doing those little things that God said, which is the babe in Christ should be doing. If not, I moved in the feeling and not obeying the word of God. I must understand that. It allows us to respond to the wonderful truth God found in God's word. It motivates believers to a higher level of service and respond to God's will. We must avoid both extremes of emotionalism and formalism. May God help us to be deeply moved by His Word. When emotions come, may they provoke us to bear the proper fruit that God desires for us to bear for His glory. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound through hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. May God help us know the difference between emotionalism and formalism, and in between, when it comes to emotion, find our status and not be afraid to let God have praise from it. But be sure, if you see me in my emotional state, that my life is doing the basics that God said to when I leave here. Because it's very, very important. Do not become formal due to the fear of emotionalism. Somebody said, that's me. I'm afraid I'll get too emotional. So that's the reason I'm like this. I feel safe like this. You ought not to, because like this, you're not going to do very much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems I see today that I have a problem with in mega churches is a crowd. You see, when you get a crowd, you lose them as quick as you get them. A crowd don't do much for God. You just meet as a crowd. But a church does. Thank God we got a church. We may have 200, 300, 400, 500 at times in here, but we have a church. This is a church that meets together to serve the living God. We don't come here for just a service as a crowd and leave and do nothing else the whole week, but wait for where we can go somewhere and meet again in a mega crowd. We're here to serve the living God. Praise God. When God moves a person, to move. But be sure it's according to the word, and be sure you're involved with what God says to do. Rejoice in God's word and shout for joy. This is Bible. Emotions are a means to an end. Emotions bear fruit if they're genuine. So again, as I try to look at the difference between emotion and emotionalism, I pray that God will help you study it some for yourself and say, Lord, I want this as my measuring rod. You know how I am. Here's how I feel. Let me get in line with your word. And when it comes time to say amen, I'm going to say it. I just shut my eyes and believe I'm by myself, and I'm going to say it. Somebody may lean and say, boy, that fellow today, he really got, you know, I don't know what he had, but he sure manifested today, didn't he? Whatever he had, he manifested. I could care less if God's in it. You understand what I'm saying? I could care less if God's in it. And the way I know God's in it, there'll be a fruit bearing if it's what it ought to be. It will not lead me just to have a feeling, go out, and then all of a sudden say, well, I was in church today and not do a thing for God that week. It leads me to serve the living God, and so it will you. I hope this is helping tonight. It's helped me through the years to study this, because this is a question I get asked a whole lot. How far, what is the difference between formalism and emotionalism? Can you have emotionalism and not be emotional? No, you'll be emotional, but emotion can lead to emotionalism unless you understand what emotion biblically is and will do for you and I as individuals in this life. So I say to you, find that place and praise God when it's there. But at the same time, realize, if I do that, God has made me aware of something for growth. I've been blessed by something that's going to help me when I go back to serve Him in that world. I've been touched by the hand of God, and I praise His holy name. Give Him glory, and that's going to help me when I go back in that world. I'm not going to do it here and go out those doors to do less. I'm going to do it here and go back out to those doors, and with His help, do more for Him when it comes to faithfulness. Our Father, I thank You again for Your precious word. Thank You tonight, Lord, for this book. And I pray tonight, it's been something that's been said that many people have asked about. Lord, I believe the Bible sets forth the principles that emotion is very important in our lives, especially when we see what God has done for us. Lord, any of us could be richer than Gates is. And dear Lord, in this life, worth billions of dollars, couldn't buy our salvation. And yet Jesus loves us enough that He died that we could be called sons of God. That's nothing to shout about. That's enough to shout about. That's enough to do what the angels do in heaven. They stand some day and night, as we think of 24 hours a day, though there's no such a time for them. But they praise God continually because they know who He is. We ought to be praising Him continually for what He's done for us. For we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, and for His sake we pray. Amen.